A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Daf Yud. Nedarim 10a, pagination is 19. We're dealing with the concept of vows and that generally there was a negative association to vows. And we find in the Mishnah on the previous page that vows were called Nidrei Rishaim, something that wicked people do, so to speak, even though we associate it with righteousness, a person who's striving to do the right thing, but let him do the right thing without making a vow. What do you have to make a vow for? We also encountered, in the story of Shimon HaTzadik, a caution that the person might regret the vow in some significant way, and even though they don't do Hataras Nedarim to undo the vow, but there's such a strong level of reluctance that Shimon HaTzadik didn't want to eat from their karbanos because he felt there was a little bit of a problem involved. And we explained, because we were discussing over there a person who vowed Nazirus. He vowed to become a Nazir, but he became Tummy along the way and got reset in his count to zero. So he might have made it to day 18, for example, and now he's reset to the beginning, and he ended up having to observe his Nazirus for many more days than he originally anticipated, because it turned out that he became Tummy to a dead body during the count, and he had to do it again. Our Gemara is going to address other dimensions of chet that are associated with the vow, specifically of Nazirus. And before we do the Gemara, let's mention that the Ramban describes the chet of the Nazir in the following way. Now, the starting off point of this entire discussion is the fact that a Nazir brings a Karban Chatos, a sin offering, which is very odd because we think of him as a holy person. He aspires for greatness. He's refraining from wine and he's letting his hair grow. He's not defiling himself to a dead body. These seem to be, in the overall outlook, to be acts that are positive. Why is it that he has to bring a sin offering? And the Ramban gives one explanation. He says, Tzarech kapara b'shuvo b'tavas ha'olam. A person needs atonement because now he's going back to the desires of the world. And I believe that this concept that the Ramban is describing is an extension of a principle that we encountered by Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai in the Gemara in Gittin. You may remember the story, we discuss it usually Tisha B'Av time, where Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai got himself smuggled out of the sieged city of Yerushalayim. And when he met with the general, he referred to him as emperor. And the general said to him, "You're guilty, either because you called the general an emperor, and that's disrespectful to the emperor, you're not allowed to do that, or if I am the emperor, why didn't you come earlier?" And that expression of "why didn't you come earlier" is a tremendous rebuke. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai had to, of course, explain that the city was under siege and it took great tactics to get him out to meet with the emperor, but with the general, and that he would be becoming the emperor imminently. But that concept of rebuke, if it's true, so what took you so long? And I would suggest that our Ramban on the topic of Nazir is a continuation of that thought. the thought of Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai's story is, if it's true, what took you so long? And the continuation of that is, and now that you're here, why are you leaving? Now that you believe that being a Nazir is a saintly act, so why are you giving it up? And that is a level of chet, in the words of the Ramban, bishuvo, as he returns to regular activity, he has to bring a chet, because on some level, that is a downgrade. Our Gemara, however, approaches the chet from a different perspective, and that is that by giving up on the joys of life, specifically grape products, that needs an atonement, because as much as it raises his level, it also on one level was a sin because it deprived him of the joys of the world. And some people who think black and white are troubled. How can all these things be reasons and considerations? But we do understand that these concepts can be true simultaneously. We have a concept, for example, that a person who had a bad dream might feel compelled to fast, to annul, to mitigate the negativity of the dream. And if he had that bad dream on a Friday night, he might feel compelled even to fast on Shabbos. But the Gemara tells us, Mesif tainis leta'anise, he is now going to need an atonement for what he fasted on Shabbos, which means he's going to have to fast during the weekday to atone what he fasted on Shabbos. Well, 1 second, is it good and recommended to fast on Shabbos in such a circumstance? Or is it bad and not recommended to fast on Shabbos in such a circumstance? And the answer really is, they're both true. It's necessary, but there's a negative aspect which has to be atoned for that requires sophistication, but it is true. And that's what's happening over here by Nazir. He's right on one level for refraining from grape product. It's going to uplift him. On the other hand, there is need on some level of atonement. And then the Ramban continues, and after he decides to revert to having great products, he needs atonement then too, because if you already arrived at this higher level, why are you returning to the lower level? Let's see the Gemara. It's about a third of the way up. The first word on the line is v'chiper. It's about 8 lines above Masnisin. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Naso, V'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanefesh. And the Nazir, upon conclusion of his period of Nazirus, is going to need to atone. V'chiper eze nefesh chata. In what way did he sin? Ela shatzir atzmo min hayayin. He held himself back, he pained himself from not having wine, particularly in a culture that drank wine. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer, and you can make a kal v'chomer from this. U'mazer shalotzir atzmo ela min hayayin. All he refrained from was wine, but other foods he ate. He enjoyed life. Nikra chote, he's called a sinner. Hametzar atzma mikol dovar lachas kama v'kama, a person who truly fasts, certainly on some level, needs atonement. He's refraining himself from enjoying Hashem's blessing in this world. Mikan, we learn from here, kalayosha betainis nikra chote, a person who fasts is considered a sinner. And all of these different dimensions and concepts have to be taken into consideration. This is what we describe as a shaila of Das Torah, where a person asks a revered mentor advice. In this situation, with this perspective, is it appropriate for me to fast? Is it appropriate for me to make such a vow? Etc. If it's appropriate, let him do it. But there are many considerations, including not to withhold from oneself a enjoyable blessing that Hashem placed in this world. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Igros Moshe Choshen Mishpat, second volume, Simon Samach Hey, discusses dieting, and he explores if a person is dieting, then he is withholding from himself exactly what our Gemara said, an application that's considered a chote, a sinner. So is that going to be permitted or not? And Rav Moshe gives a number of reasons that should be considered when making such a decision. One of them is ika midas ochel. When a person's on a diet, it's not a total fast. There are foods that he's allowed to eat, and he can enjoy those foods, focus on those enjoyments, and on that level, it's very different than a person who's totally fasting. Another consideration is that he's exchanging one pain for a different pain. And on some level, he's besimcha, he's joyous, as he loses weight or whatever the reason is for his diet. So if a person is exchanging one pain for a different pain, and he's choosing that one pain is less than the other pain, then that could be justified because it's a judgment call that he's decided that the pain of not having the food is less than the ramifications of his being overweight. And finally, another consideration is that if he's doing it for true health reasons, that would be very different than a person who's doing it because he feels that he's going to be more saintly. A person who deprives himself of food or benefit because it's not good for him under his circumstances is an application of the equivalent of surgery or whatever other medicinal interventions that a person might do in order to benefit themselves, and that's a medical consideration, and that would not go in to the restriction that we are encountering over here. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.